I will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is March 5th, 2021. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Nancy is present. Wasilewicz, Amy.
Wasilewicz, present.
Wasilewicz, present. Heinzman and Josh.
Present.
President Akron, Patty.
Present.
President Acklin, Susan.
Present.
Backer, Jeff.
Backer, present.
Becker, Finn, Jamie. Eklund, Rob.
Present.
Fisher, Peter.
Fisher, present.
Green, Steve.
Here.
Igo, Spencer.
Igo, present.
Jordan, Sydney.
Jordan, here.
Keeler, Heather.
Keeler, present.
Lee, Fu.
Lee, present.
Lippert, Tom. Lewick, Dale.
Lewick, present.
Morrison, Kelly. Morrison, Kelly. Nelson, Nathan.
Nelson, present.
Tice, Tama.
Tice, present.
Let's go back quick. Becker, Finn, Jamie.
Representative Becker Finn is chairing a committee. Representative Morrison is presenting in that committee right now.
Fair enough. Okay, thank you. A quorum is present.
The quorum is present. The next item on the agenda are the minutes for Thursday, March 4th, 2021. Representative Acklund, have you reviewed the minutes?
I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewick.
Am I marked as excused in the minutes?
Representative Acklund.
I need to pull those up, sir, just a moment.
If I am, I was present during the hearing yesterday.
Adam.
Apologies, Mr. Chair. I'm pulling up the minutes from yesterday here. The ones that I have you present, Representative Lewick.
You have me as present?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Mr. Chair. I believe Representative Lewick was marked as excused for the vote at the table, just as I was marked as excused for the vote on the lands bill that I had.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was muted myself. My mistake.
So the minutes are okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. The minutes are adopted. Members, we're going to move some things around today because we've got members that are chairing and presenting in other committees. So the first bill up is going to be Representative Eklund's timber sales bill. Then we will do the clean water bill. There was one testifier from the Land Stewardship Project that we did not get to, so we will take that bill from the table. And then hear the testimony and then take the A2 amendment under consideration. Then we will go with the, I think we'll move to Representative Wasilewicz's bill and then end with the CWD bill. So everybody clear? And I know members are going to be moving around during the morning. Okay. Representative Eklund. House File 1260, Timber Permit Terms Modified, and we're going to about 9:50 on this. Representative Eklund, would you move House File 1260 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill?
That is my motion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Eklund, I believe you have an author's amendment.
I do, Mr. Chair. I will move the DE1 amendment. House file 1260 DE1.
Representative Eklund moves the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the form the author would like. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Representative Eklund, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House file 1260 as amended offers relief to holders of DNR timber permits that were adversely affected by the COVID pandemic and the resulting downturn of Minnesota's forest products industry. That included the COVID-related closure of the Verso Paper Mill in Duluth, Minnesota. Timber permits were purchased to supply that mill, and after it closed, the value of those permits have been significantly impacted. House File 1260, as amended, seeks to not only help provide relief to those permit holders of state timber sales, but keeps rural Minnesota communities strong. It will also allow our loggers to continue the important work of helping to keep our forests healthy and supplying fiber to our mills. I have three testifiers joining me today, representing the Minnesota Logging Community, Mike Berkwin and Scott Dane. Mike is from Minnesota Forest Industry. Scott Dane is from the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers. And then DNR personnel to speak to the merits of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
And testifiers, if you could limit your testimony to 1 to 2 minutes. Mr. Berkwin, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mike Berkland, and I am here today representing the Minnesota Timber Producers Association and Minnesota Forest Industries, the thousands of men and women who work in the woods and in the mills in Minnesota. And this relief will be helpful. I'd like to thank Representative Eklund for bringing this forward, and I want to testify today in support of House File 1260. It's needed and necessary for lots of reasons. There were significant ripple effects on Minnesota's logging community after the closure of the Verso Mills last summer. And, you know, primarily impacted loggers who harvest spruce and balsam trees. So think of your classic Christmas trees, some birch in that component as well. But Verso in Duluth was using about 50% of the spruce and balsam in the state. And following those mill closures, very few places for that wood to go. So the market was flooded with spruce and balsam, and loggers were stuck with down payments on state timber sales. A couple of important considerations. There is precedence. The legislature has stepped up in the past and provided assistance and help and relief. That happened in 2007 with several mill closures in the state, and in 2013 when we had a couple of other mills that were shut down and the industry was impacted. A couple of examples to provide for you here as well. For small and large loggers alike, this has significant impacts. One logger in northern Minnesota, just north of Duluth, has about $140,000 in commitments on spruce and balsam sales alone, with no market really, hardly any market at all anymore for that wood to go. So a relief package would allow him to recover his costs on these species that have very few markets and now have dropped in value. And the timber sale last year that was that contained mostly spruce and balsam that was worth about $80,000 is worth about half that today. So we would just like to encourage you to think about providing some much-needed relief for loggers in this regard to keep our communities, our rural communities healthy, our forests healthy, and our loggers and the families and employees that they support healthy as well. We really do appreciate your consideration and support. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Berkwin. Mr. Dane, welcome to the committee, and state your name and who you're.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Yes. My name is Scott Dane. I'm the executive director of the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers of Minnesota. And Mr. Chair, committee members, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this important bill. And thank Representative Eklund for sponsoring it, as well as the co-sponsors on this bill. This is the highest priority for the Minnesota timber industry that we are trying to get addressed to provide some aid and assistance to them. All portions of this legislation are important for various reasons. If we're going to address the true threats and challenges that are compromising the viability and the stability of Minnesota's timber industry. So all three components, major components, of this legislation are very important. Mike had shared an example with you, which is a terrific example. And as another example, we've got a logger up in northern Minnesota that is operating a U.S. Forest Service timber sale under the Good Neighbor Authority, which allows the DNR to administer U.S. Forest Service sales to assist the U.S. Forest Service. He has started that sale, and because he started that sale, he is liable for 100% of the standing value of that. That's going to cost him over $100,000. These situations have the potential of bankrupting many Minnesota logging companies. So those components are critical, but it's more important, or it's bigger than loggers and logging. As you saw from the attachment that I shared with you, titled Save Our Forests, forest management, healthy forests contribute to reducing wildfire, to wildlife habitat development, to actually carbon sequestration, and recreational use of our forests. So it's far bigger than just loggers and the logging industry. If we're going to have healthy forests and derive those benefits that we noted on that paper, we need a healthy logging industry in Minnesota. You know, loggers are trying to wrap up the harvest season. In fact, they're expecting road bans to go on next week, which will shut down the timber operations. So those guys are in the woods scrambling right now. But I'd like to share a couple of quotes and their words from them. We have the opportunity to speak on their behalf, Mike and I do, but it's their livelihoods and their lives that are being impacted by this, aside from those examples. One quote from Greg Tibbetts. The impacts of the Verso shutdown are far more than the 200 mill workers. It's probably more like 1,000 people affected when you look at the big picture. Short term, I'm okay. But long term, I'm not sure. Pretty uncertain. Mike Nielsen, a logger out of Ely, Minnesota, was quoted in this week's newspaper, the Duluth News Tribune. We need another mill up here. We've got 20 to 30% too many loggers for the mills that we have right now. We don't have too many loggers. We have too few mills. This assistance that you have the opportunity to support today and pass will enable these loggers to survive for when to support the existing mills and not lose any more mills, and then to support future mills as well. So counties and the federal government have taken substantial steps to assist the timber industry through this pandemic and the impacts of it. And now is an opportunity for the state to join these other public land management entities and support this legislation as well. I'd be happy to answer questions after the other testimonies or follow up as needed, but I really ask that you support this bill for Minnesota's timber industry and all the benefits that are derived for the state of Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Forrest Bow, Minnesota DNR, 1 minute.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Forrest Bow. I'm the Director of Forestry with the Minnesota DNR. We too appreciate this bill being brought forward. There has clearly been impacts up and down our system of logging and industry in the state. Just to give you a sense, Verso was our fifth largest mill in Minnesota. They used 43% of the states of the DNR's balsam and spruce. So they were the largest consumer of our DNR, of our balsam and spruce. The announcement that Verso, that came from Verso happened just days after we had our big spring auction. And so it really left those loggers holding permits that had a lot less value, I guess, to be real blunt. And so we do really appreciate this bill being brought forward. Just to give you a sense, in total, we have 1,800 permits on all DNR lands worth $55 million. If you think about just the balsam and spruce that this would cover, there's still over 300 permits worth $7.5 million. And so this is a big deal. We've collected over $1 million in down payments on those permits that are identified in the bill. We did do some things right away, things that we could do in current statute limitations. We offered a one-year interest-free permit. We started to reduce the price on our at our auctions after that, and we made balsam optional. In other words, the logger could purchase the balsam if they wanted, or it would be an optional species on a permit. Beyond these actions, legislative help is needed, and that's what's being offered here today. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a couple questions, Representative Lewick and then Representative Jordan. Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to add my thanks to both the testifiers and the bill author. It's important to realize that there's concern. Those trees are still standing out there, so they're not going to go away, and they'll be available in the future. But without this kind of attempt to fix, we could certainly be in danger of not having the commercial industry available to harvest them. So again, I want to thank all the testifiers and the Department of Natural Resources. This is badly needed across all of Minnesota, where forestry is a huge part of our economy. Thank you.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is for Mr. Berkland. Can you talk to me a little bit about how COVID contributed to some of the decline that we're seeing today? Is it mostly because of the paper industry? Is it because of the Verso mill closure? Or are there other factors included as well?
Mr. Berkland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Jordan. And I think the best answer to the question is COVID-19 impacted, especially early on, the paper industry significantly. You know, most of the mills in Minnesota have weathered the storm, especially on the paper side. Building products have been affected a little bit differently. But what you see is the fact that, you know, as you're some of you are now working from your office, but most businesses and most employees are still working from home. Most kids are just starting to get back to school. And so there's just not a lot of paper usage in the markets that our mills manufacture paper for, or even the types of magazines that are being read. And so COVID-19 took Verso over the edge in both of the facilities, not only Duluth, but Wisconsin Rapids as well. So it affected the end use markets, which carries back all the way through to the markets for wood that comes out of the our forests in Minnesota.
Thank you, that's really helpful.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Berkland, for that answer. I'm really glad that, you know, we as a state are really, I think this is a great bill, I'm happy to support it. I'm really glad that we as a state can acknowledge that a crisis in one community is a crisis in all of our communities, and that we're all coming together to really make sure that we're uplifting everyone in Minnesota. And so I hope we can really think about this when we're going forward and working on bills to uplift all of our communities. Thanks.
Representative Eklund, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you to the testifiers. We are at a phase in the forest products industry where if we don't help the loggers out that have these, that are holding these contracts, that we may lose them. And then if we lose them, then we start losing the mills that they supply, because we need these suppliers to get the timber to the market. We need these suppliers to help the DNR manage our forests and keep them healthy. And we need this to keep Northern Minnesota economies running. So I appreciate the support, Mr. Chair and members, and I appreciate the time.
Representative Eklund renews his motion that House File 1260 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. The bill is laid over. Next, we are going to go back to the Clean Water Bill, and Vice Chair Wozlawick, do you want to take the gavel?
Yep, I will do that, Mr. Chair. The next item up is the clean water, the bill that we heard yesterday, I think we'll have to make a motion to move House File 639 as amended be taken from the table. I will make that motion if the clerk will take the roll.
Ensign Rick.
Aye.
Ensign aye. Wozlawick Amy.
Wozlawick aye.
Wozlawick aye. Heintzman Josh.
No.
Heintzman no. Acom Patty. Acom I. Acklin Susan.
Acklin no.
Acklin no. Becker Jeff.
Becker votes no.
Becker no. Becker Finn Jamie.
Aye.
Becker Finn aye. Eklund Rob.
Aye.
Eklund aye. Fisher Peter.
Fisher aye.
Fisher aye. Green Steve.
No.
Green no. I go Spencer.
I go no.
I go no. Jordan Sydney.
Jordan aye.
Jordan aye. Keeler Heather.
Keeler aye.
Keeler aye. Lee Fu.
Lee aye.
Lee aye. Lippert Todd.
Lippert aye.
Lippert aye. Lewick Dale.
Lewick no.
Lewick no. Morrison Kelly.
Morrison aye.
Morrison aye. Nelson Nathan.
Nelson no.
Nelson no. Tice Tama.
Tice no.
Tice no. That is 11 ayes and 8 noes.
House File 639 as amended is taken off the table. Chair Hansen, would you like to move your bill to the next committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move that House File 639 as amended be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee to get the bill to get before the committee.
House File 639 as amended is now back before the committee. The first thing that we'd like to do is have the testifier from yesterday who didn't get a chance to testify, Ms. Christy Purcell. Ms. Purcell, if you would identify yourself for the record and present your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Christy Purcell. I'm Executive Director of Cannon River Watershed Partnership, CRWP, and I also serve as a member volunteer on Land Stewardship Project's Soil Health and Climate Committee. Thank you for including language to incentivize soil healthy farming in Section 6, page 15, Section O, as well as for the additional support for our crucial soil and water conservation districts across the state and funds for the Forever Green Initiative. In my job, running a small clean water nonprofit in rural Minnesota, we know farmers and landowners are our closest allies in achieving our shared goals around clean water and healthy soil, while making sure that these farms remain profitable and stay in our small towns and communities for the long term. CRWP has a project in one of our sub-watersheds here in southeast Minnesota for the last 3 years, reimbursing farmers to plant one-third of the total tillable acres in the Rice Creek watershed into cover crops and or no-till practices. In this area, we've seen the nitrate level in this trout stream decrease more than 40% compared to 2013 data. I've seen firsthand that this type of incentivized, voluntary support for farmers who do the right thing can and does work to benefit all of us. And I strongly believe we need to see more funding directed towards these types of farming practices. We'd love to work with the committee to see the prioritization of small and mid-sized farms, as well as making sure equity is centered so that BIPOC, disabled, and women farmers have the first chance to receive funding within the structured funding model. We're hopeful that this program can encourage and promote best practices and prioritize funding perennial systems such as managed rotational grazing, perennial pastures, and crops that are shown to sequester carbon. We look forward to working with the committee to invest in farming that provides a public good to all Minnesotans, and I'd be happy to take questions if time allows. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Purcell, and thank you for your flexibility and being here with us today to give your testimony. I will go to member questions at this time. If folks have questions, feel free to raise your hand. I see Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would like to start from the bill as amended on line 22.16, Soil and Water Conservation District fees. Some of the testimony we heard yesterday was actually pretty shocking, and I think if I got the name right here, Amber Bouget from the Hennepin County Recorder's Office, really, I think, raised a number of concerns that I'd like to have someone, if they could, elaborate more on, and I'm not sure if Amber was able to join us this morning. I don't see her here, but if she is, that'd be great.
She is here, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the lines 22.16 and then on down to 22.27. If the testifier could help us better understand the uniformity that's important in that fee structure, could you elaborate on that?
Ms. Bouget, are you I see your name here. Just want to make sure you're actually available.
Yes, I'm available.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Representative, yes, those fees are for recording fees, and they're tied to the bill ties them to the mortgage registration tax and state deed tax. So on any mortgage or deed, we collect, if it's above a $3,000 consideration, we collect mortgage registration or state deed tax. And in addition to that, we collect a $46 fee for each document associated with that transaction. So the $25 would be in addition to that $46. And that is what is uniform across the state by all counties, the $46.
Madam Chair.
Representative Heisman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Hansen could maybe help us understand where this came from. It sounds like creating a fee on top of the current fee structure creates some real challenges for our folks in county offices who are trying to collect these fees. Where did this idea come from? And I'm trying to understand, is there another option that we could look at that wouldn't maybe create the difficulties that we're hearing described? There was also a number of other testifiers that spoke to this issue. And so, Representative, if you have some other options, that'd be great. But where did this come from, I guess, specifically? I guess I'm wondering where that
Chair
is originating.
Yep, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Heisman, glad for the question. Representative Heisman, there was actually a bill introduced last week as well. I don't have the number off the top of my head that I think will be coming our way. Members, for 6 years, there has been an allocation from the Clean Water Fund for Soil and Water District general purposes. It was referred to yesterday as a county allocation or capacity grant. In 2015, those funds, which are, I believe, over $20 million, were swept back when there was a surplus to repay the Clean Water Fund. In 2017, a similar thing happened, where those funds were swept back to repay the Clean Water Fund. In 2019, there was over $20 million again, but it was not swept back. So the problem of Soil and Water Conservation District general funding is a real problem. And for at least 3 years, I know there's been efforts at trying to find a solution, because clean water funding, frankly, is not appropriate for general, essentially local government aid to soil and water conservation districts. Back in 2015, the money was supposed to be used for buffers. If we go back to the debate to help with implementation on buffers and to have a water purpose. Now the purpose is general capacity, not for outcomes for water. So I know for at least the last 2 years, there have been strong efforts at the usual stakeholder task force working group effort to try to come to some type of solution. In 2019, I proposed taking some money from an increase in the soil and water, or increase from solid waste fees to help pay for this amount. Mm-hmm. So everybody recognizes there's a problem. The Clean Water Fund is not base funding. The Clean Water Fund, like all legacy funds, only lasts 25 years. There's no guarantee that it'll be renewed. We are now in year 13. Every proposal that comes up for solving this problem, somebody says no. So what we're talking about here is a $25 fee that's tied to land ownership. If you own land, you would pay $25 when you purchase that land or when you refinance. It's a one-time fee unless you refinance, and then you pay it again.
and that is to tie soil and water conservation district funding to the land. So the counties, because there are some counties who do not strongly support their soil and water districts. So trying to find an option here, what we've done is, what we've done as a committee is we have provided a transition of $12 million currently to transition, but to implement a $25 fee that the counties could opt in on. Now you should know that the 11 county metro area currently has a $5 conservation fee. I just refinanced my mortgage. I paid a $5 fee that's tied to the land where my house is. I don't think $5 or $25 is too much to pay one time for land conservation. And what we do in the second year is we're tying aid to soil and water districts to water, that there are three specific types of technical assistance funding that they could apply for to get projects in the ground, to provide for that administrative support for implementation of practices. But in order to do that, they've got to have some local buy-in, because we have some counties that refuse to have the local buy-in. Now, about 40% of the state has watershed districts, and those watershed districts have levy authority. I think for at least 6 to 10 years, there have been efforts to try to provide levy authority to soil and water districts. That's been opposed. So what a county could do is, if they've got a watershed district, they don't have to apply, they don't have to do a fee because they've got a local buy-in. But this is a way that if you're going to get state money for clean water, for technical assistance to achieve water quality goals, you've got to put some local money up. Because if there are counties who will not put that money up, and it's just the state's responsibility for local government aid, then we've got to find some other solution, because Clean Water Fund is not an appropriate use for local government aid.
Madam Chair.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For those folks that are watching this hearing at home, I'm going to remind everyone that might have lost track, because that was a long monologue that didn't answer the question. The question was very specifically, where did this idea come from? And we're trying to figure out if there are other viable options, because I think everyone understands that if they're following home sales, that those transactions are not a stable source of funding. We all agree that SWCDs need a stable source of funding. Now, in Representative Hansen's mind, that it's not appropriate to use clean water funds. And there's the degree that that isn't appropriate, but there are plenty of folks that see that as a very reasonable source, considering the kind of work that soil and water conservation districts do around the state to protect water, to clean water, which is absolutely a part of the mission statement of that fund. And so it's a very reasonable question, especially considering the testimony that we heard from the Nepean County Recorder. And that question wasn't answered. We got a monologue going on and on about how we need to find funding. Nobody disagrees. That is a clear agreement amongst Republicans and Democrats. The question mark is, okay, if we need to find other sources, what sources are out there and what are stable sources? What's the best way to do that? And that question wasn't answered. Members, this idea was hatched, in for lack of a better term, in the dark of night without any input apparently from others. And here we are today with limited time to discuss some provisions that have been added to this bill in the DE that quite easily could have been in a single bill form and taken the entire 2.5 hours of at least 1 or 2 meetings to hash them out and hear from advocates and hear from others who need to be a part of this process, and we're stuck today. We don't have that option. This thing has been stuck in front of us, and we're going to have to do the best we can to get our questions answered, and it doesn't look like we're going to get much luck. That's harsh, folks, but that's reality. And I see we have a number of other questions, so I'll pipe down for a while, but it's incredibly frustrating. I'm a former watershed district manager, which Representative Hansen just mentioned watershed districts, and they certainly do have levy authority, and there's a good and a bad to that. And that should be thoroughly discussed as we're starting, as we're trying to figure out what are the best options for soil and water conservation districts. It's not a clear-cut, easy path forward.
Representative Lewick, you're next on the list, and then I have Representative Eklund after that.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the first question I have for the bill author is, will this bill ultimately go to the tax committee? Because clearly you're proposing that we add a new tax. So is this going to pass through the tax committee?
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Lewick, we as I mentioned to Representative Heintzman, there is another bill that has been introduced. I've talked with Chair Marquardt. That bill we will hear, and you know, tax bills have a little stronger or a little longer deadline, so I would plan on sending that to the tax committee as well. I should note that there have been multiple years and multiple efforts at levy authority for soil and water districts, but the answer is always no. It's very easy to say no. This is $25 fee one time that ties your land to working on soil and water conservation districts.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you for that detailed answer. So the answer is no. You would propose running this through without it going and through the tax.
That the answer is yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I've got a number of other questions, and you know, for the folks out there that are taking this in, there's a lot of local issues here, and I would hope that we're going to have the opportunity to get them out on the table. Not for the committee members. We've all had our time to study this and look at options. But in the interest of allowing the citizens out there in Minnesota to see how we operate down here, I would ask that we allow for comment and allow for questions. And I'm just going to go right to the heart of this business on St. Paul attempting to levy a tax at the local level that will be required to be collected at the county level that will be unstable because we go through periods when the real estate market just shuts down, like it or not. But here's my concern, and again, think about this. We have got election certificates out there with county commissioners. We got election certificates out there with the members of the local soil and water conservation district board members. Those folks at the local level work out agreements in a variety of ways for funding. Some counties, you're right, I agree, they elect not to levy specifically the property taxpayers for dollars for their soil and water district. Other ones do. We don't have a real legitimate prediction as to, well, gosh, if we've got this new tax jammed down our throat from St. Paul without really consulting with the folks at the county level, well, that'll give us an opportunity then to use property tax money right now that we're levying for something other than supporting the soil and water conservation districts. I just am dumbfounded, and I'll let there are plenty of other questions here, it just appears that we are going to blunder into something here that is going to probably have a net negative impact on that relationship, because you're likely going to have money that's coming from the county level that those five commissioners or seven commissioners make a determination to very specifically levy the people for to send a soil and water. They're going to now go, well, gee, since St. Paul knows better, we're just going to live with whatever this unstable funding source does. This is not a solution. This is this isn't even a good shot in the dark. So I absolutely can't support this. And again, I appreciate the chair's indulgence, because if we're going to allow all the members to discuss at length the concerns of a bill, then let's be fair to everybody. So again, thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's important, I guess, Representative Lewick, for you to read the bill, because it's a local option to apply the $25 fee. A local option that the county would make in order to receive, we're nearly at $125 million a year annually that goes out in the Clean Water Fund. We're talking about $28 million that was the request. $28 million that the county could choose if they don't have a watershed district, which can levy, to impose a one-time $25 fee. The Soil and Water Conservation District money has become local government aid. And members, I hope people at home are watching. This opposition to a $25 fee of local money in order to get millions of dollars of state money. A local option, $25, one time.
Now, Madam Chair,
Representative Lewick, that where you are correct is that it is an unstable source. It does vary. But there's nothing stable about one-time money every 2 years that's going to expire in 12 years. That is not stable. And with the increasing inflation of the demands from soil and water districts for general capacity, by the time we get to the end of this, we could be at $50 million instead of $28 million. And what if the amendment is not renewed? Then what's going to happen? The amendment was supposed to be for things that were special, in addition to protect, restore, and enhance our waters, not to supplement local government funding.
Madam Chair, I'll be very quick.
Yes, we have six other members with their hands up.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
They should get an equal opportunity just like you.
Absolutely, and just in answer to that, there are clearly penalties. This is one of those offers you can't refuse without on the long term suffering penalties from the state of Minnesota, and that's not how we should treat our fellow elected officials at the local level. Thank you.
Members, just a reminder, please do not interrupt other members when they're speaking when they have the floor. The chair decides who gets to speak in committee, so please respect that. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that reminder. I think we all need to remember that at times in this process. I have two quick questions for the author of the bill, Madam Chair. The first question is on lines 15.32 to 16.15. $12 million the first year for the grants to SWCDs. Will all SWCDs be eligible for this funding?
Chair Hansen.
Eklund, Madam Chair, Representative Eklund, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. One other quick question on 16.16 to 17.2. Is the expectation that all WDs will be eligible to receive this funding? That's a technical assistance piece of that.
Madam Chair, Representative Eklund, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
If they have either a watershed district or the $25 conservation fee.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Hansen. So, you know, this is an interesting discussion. Those of us that have that are from rural counties, and I looked yesterday, all my counties are contributing to their SWCDs right now. In fact, I was surprised at how much Cochise County was contributing for my days as a county commissioner. We've talked about this levy authority, and it's never passed. We've talked about looking at new options. I, rather than sitting here and arguing over the particulars of how of this, maybe we should argue over the particulars, but I would like to challenge people to work with us, with me, to figure out how to fund these SWCDs, because members, I've been in public service for my 11th year now. So when you think about that, 12 years from now is not going to take that long to get here. And if this amendment is not re-upped, then all of a sudden we're going to be looking at a bigger hole. So let's figure out how to work together on this, come up with ideas, because frankly, I haven't seen too many more than what's been put forward in this plan this year. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Next up, I have Representative Tice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking through this, and as the lead on housing, I kind of take offense to, it's only $25. Actually, it's 50. It's 25 for both deed and mortgage. You know, if everybody has that attitude, we're never going to be able to build a house again, because we're already at a point where we are significantly higher than our surrounding states. I've talked to a gentleman from Fargo, and he's like, we just can't believe how much it is, how much more it is in Minnesota than it is in North Dakota, which means that more people are building out of state. They're building in North Dakota. We hear the same thing on the other side, on the Wisconsin side, but guess what? They're like $50,000 higher. And yet we can't figure it out. And everybody's got the same attitude. We need the money. How else are we going to get it? And building is always the thing that happens. And now we're to a point where we're short thousands and thousands and thousands of homes. We can't figure out how to make enough, how to build enough workforce housing for those folks that are expanding their plants. I know Representative, now Mayor Fabian, has been talking about this since I have been in the legislature. They don't have enough housing for folks to come up to Rosso to look at what's there. He's got DigiKey that's looking for housing, and he's got Polaris that's looking for housing. And it's to the point now where they're thinking about pulling out someplace else because they don't have the housing for their folks. They don't have multi-housing, number one. And how will this affect commercial property? I'm not seeing really anything there, but I would like to know, how does this affect commercial property? But they can't get folks there to just come and look and maybe work the job for a year or two and then find housing. It just isn't there. It isn't there for a lot of our college communities. They can't find, not for students. We're talking for the staff and professors that work at the colleges. You know, I can go on for hours about how we don't have enough housing in Minnesota. And let's not even, I mean, we're not even talking about the homeless yet. Everybody wants to add money onto that. And I have been working really hard to figure out, why are we so much higher than every other state? And don't tell me it doesn't make a difference, because I think we're close to losing a congressional district because folks are moving out of Minnesota. That is the truth. So I love my soil and water conservation district. They're doing a great job. We have seen some wonderful work done. But housing always seems to be the thing, and it's only $25. I get it, Rick. I get it, Chair. I get it. But there's a point where we got to say, we got to find another source. And I don't know what it is, and we got to quit raiding funds. I agree with that part of it. I have been part of a builder fund that's been raided many times, and then I get the letter saying, guess what? We've got no money. You need to pay more at a time when I can't afford it, usually when it's a downtime in our economy. And here we go again. I know. I'm hitting it. You're hitting housing, and I'm like, no, housing can't do it. Housing doesn't even have enough, and we're hitting it again. I'm really, this part is a huge no way for me. And I think it should be for anybody that's listening to this and wanting to build in their communities because they just don't have enough housing, period. Let's tell a veteran that it's only $25. And right now he's living on the street and we can't afford to house him. I'm really lit up. This really is a big deal. And I'm really sad to see that here it is again, housing's getting hit. And then we can't figure out why we don't have any people coming to Minnesota to build and enjoy their lives here. So, you know, every $25, every $50 makes a difference. Right now we're looking at 46 to 61 in my county, in Stearns County, and now we're adding another 50. Really makes me sad. But I guess my bigger question is, how does this hit commercial? Thank you.
Chair Hanson, do you want to respond to the question?
$25. It's not based on value. It's $25 when the transfer occurs. And members, there's a price to owning land. That's, I think that we are acknowledging that with land, soil and water conservation districts. That price is now being paid with the Clean Water Fund.
Next up, I have Representative Backer and then Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Accessing a $25, $50 fee on a home like this for Soil Water Conservation District really comes across to people as like, because I own a car, I'm going to be taxed because I'm wearing shoes. There's no correlation. I mean, because generally Minnesotans have a good tradition of, okay, if I have to pay a tax, I get service. Because you own property in a community of let's say Morris, Minnesota, who is not in a soil water conservation district, in the community that does things, doesn't make sense. So just the correlation between $25, $50 fee for home, is, like I said, it doesn't make sense. It's like I own a car, I'm going to get taxed because I put shoes on. Representative Tice was extremely 100% correct. We are having challenges on the border community. You can go from Canada down to Iowa. No longer does Minnesota have a larger community on this side. No longer, and so forth. Clean water, that is what people voted for. I would respectfully disagree with other comments that we cannot be using clean water for this. SWCDs, I work with all of them. I work with seven of them, probably more than anybody else at the Capitol, because I represent seven counties. Wonderful job. That is what I talk to farmers. I talk to individuals. Clean water is clean water. In helping SWCD to operate that in a general obligation, that's what people are happy about. And to tack additional fees is not correct. This is wrong. I have a lot more to say. I think I've said my two. I know the other side will disagree on me, but we are already taking so much money out of harder earning Minnesotans. We are already sending people over the border, and this is working with clean water. This is what people voted for many years ago. Instead of some of these goofy projects that we're doing already, there are some really people on both sides of the aisles are concerned about how some of this money is spent. No one has ever questioned that we are spending clean water money to help clean water through SWCD, because that is their responsibility. That is why people voted for this that I've talked to over the last years. Thank you for your indulgence on this, Madam Chair. Appreciate it.
Members, we are going to wrap up and vote on this at 9:30. So we have four members with questions. We're going to get through as many as we can, and then we will move to the vote at 9:30. Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll try to be quick, and I'll appreciate a follow-up. So I think this is geared towards the DNR right now and the Clean Water Council. To the DNR yesterday when they presented, Mr. Meckel talked about how they're monitoring contaminants in fishes and in our water. One, what are you doing to make sure that this material that you are gathering is being translated into languages other than English, knowing that we have a lot of fishermen and women of different backgrounds in the state of Minnesota? And then to the Clean Water Council, what are some of the processes that you have in place to ensure that the process of evaluating projects actually have a race equity lens, knowing that the taxpayer throughout the state of Minnesota is from very diverse backgrounds, so that the projects that are funded or recommended to the legislature are reflective of our diverse communities? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Meckel, if you want to take the DNR question.
Madam Chair and members, Jason Meckel, Minnesota DNR. Department of Health will speak to how the information gets distributed. We just collect the fish.
And Mr. Gardner, if you could answer the question about Clean Water Council.
Yes, Madam Chair, and Representative Lee, Representative Lee, the Council Strategic Plan approved a year ago does ask the Council to produce a diversity, equity, and inclusion plan by the end of 2021. And the events of last year caused us to really accelerate the dialogue we're having internally about that to see where we have gaps in helping all Minnesotans achieve fishable, swimmable, and drinkable water. We are always open to hearing from anybody who would like to tell us where some of those gaps are. We can reach out a lot. We've talked to the Indian Affairs Council, and we're reaching out to the ethnic councils, but be more than happy to seek your input of where you think those gaps could be so that we can address them. Thank you.
Members, we do have an amendment that we need to take up before we want to do that before we get to the end of the bill discussion. Representative Heintzman, I believe you have the A2 amendment.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Will you move the A2 amendment and just briefly describe it for us?
Yes, I would. So I would move the A2 amendment. Is real simple. In the council recommendations. Today we've kind of gone on about some concerns that we have and basically put the recommendations back in place. The projects and the work was supported by the governor. While some of the new funding projects included by the chair are not an issue, we on this side of the aisle have a few different priorities that we think have merit. We also can't support the policy and other provisions added to the appropriations in this bill, which are also a significant concern to the SWCDs, the counties, and the realtors. I think that we need an alternative, and, while we may have some problems with the current language, this gives us an off-ramp to kind of get back to square one and kind of pull the politics out of this. So that's my amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Hansen, do you have a position on the amendment or any comments on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Heintzman, I appreciate that you've offered this and noted that what we're really talking about here are the additional dollars that the Clean Water Council's recommendations are pretty much intact. I would note there's one difference, one appropriation and one policy that was slightly affected. But what we're talking about here is money that was on the bottom line and that has come in through it. I look forward to working with you on another solution, but I cannot support the amendment at this time. And the reason for that is there's been years of effort trying to get to square one, and we never get off square one. We never do. And so I would look forward to working with you again and interest groups and the public on this, but that's been tried. So 2 years ago, I tried, and we had the same response. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. We can't do this on one fee. Here we're back again. 2 years went by. No solution. So I would oppose the amendment, but we'll continue to work with you and your members and our members to try to find some solution.
All those in favor of the of adopting the A2 amendment, say
Madam
aye.
Chair.
Madam Chair,
I asked for a roll call.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Representative Heintzman. You were breaking up when you said that, and I didn't catch that. So I will have the clerk take the roll on the amendment. Thank you, Representative Heintzman.
Hinson, Rick.
No.
Hanson, no. Wasilewicz, Amy.
Wasilewicz, no.
Wasilewicz, no. Heitzman, Josh. Heitzman, aye. Akam, Patty.
Akam, no.
Akam, no. Ackland, Susan.
Ackland, aye.
Ackland, aye. Backer, Jeff.
Backer, aye.
Backer, aye. Becker, Finn, Jamie.
No.
Becker, Finn, no. Ackland, Rob.
No.
Ackland, no. Fisher, Peter.
Fisher, no.
Fisher, no. Green, Steve.
Aye.
Green, aye. Igo, Spencer.
Igo, aye.
Igo, aye. Jordan, Sydney.
No.
Jordan, no. Keeler, Heather.
No.
Keeler, no. Lee, Fu.
Lee, no.
Lee, no. Lippert, Todd.
Lippert, no.
Lippert, no. Lewick, Dale.
Lewick, yes.
Lewick, yes. Morrison, Kelly.
Morrison, no.
Morrison, no. Nelson, Nathan.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Tice, Tama.
Tice, aye.
Tice, aye. That is 8 ayes and 11 nays.
All right. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. We will take Representative Green, if you can be brief, if you have a question, you can get it done in a minute here so we can move on to our other bills.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You were breaking up. Did you call on Representative Green?
I did call on Representative Green. If you could keep it short, keep it short, because we have two other bills. Thank you.
I did have a series of questions, but I will keep it short, and I will start with a short comment, and then I do have one question for the bill author. Representative Eklund brought up the money that the SWCDs had access to back on pages 15 and 16, and it brought up a question that the author of the bill actually answered, which was that unless the counties impose this fee, they will not have access to those grants. So to keep that in mind. So on page 22, line 30, you'll see that it says that to be eligible for these grants, any grants from the Clean Water Fund, you have to impose this fee. So just the comment that I want to make is this is not $25. The $25 added on top of $46 is at $71. And if you take a look at our plat books out here, you'll see that our land out here, our private ownership land, is disappearing. And you look at the tax forfeited in these plat books, these are people that have lost their property. They could no longer afford to stay on it. And more fees is not going to help that. So one question to the author of the bill, was there any estimation on how much this is supposed to raise? I know you're not going to be able to do it by county, because that would be severely skewed, because you don't know what's going to sell. Some counties even have more property for sale. But statewide, for the SWCDs, is there any estimate on what this would raise?
Chair Hanson.
Thank you, Representative Green. To answer your question, back in 2005 and 2006, we actually had runs done by counties on this, that it is highly variable and not predictable. So this idea has been around for quite some time. Again, no other solution has been proposed, so we do not have the runs right now on how much it would provide.
Madam Chair.
Representative Green.
Then I would say that you don't even know if it's going to work, and how much money is going to come in. It's really a poor way to get this money, I believe. I hope to rethink this if this goes on today. I hope I will be trying to deal with it when we get to legacy. So hope everybody keeps in mind that the SWCDs are not broke, right? They do get funding. Every agency that I've ever dealt with always wants more. If you gave them what they wanted today, tomorrow it would be more. SWCDs do a great job. They operate efficiently, and maybe one of the reasons is they don't have the big pool of money continually flowing in, and they have to spend their money wisely. Thank you.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And despite the discussion today, 23 of the 24 pages of the DE2 amendment actually go towards spending the Clean Water Fund dollars that are gathered from everybody throughout the state when they pay their sales tax. And so I just wanted to bring the focus back on that and also speak to some of the testimony in one of the letters that have been presented had given the impression that somehow by spending the additional money that's now available to be spent post February forecast, that somehow we're doing something disrespectful towards the Clean Water Council. And as someone who serves on the Outdoor Heritage Council, I can say that, the bulk of the money, we're not taking away any of the projects that the Clean Water Council recommended. And this happens every year. Every year we get a forecast and things have to be adjusted. And the reality is that the constitutional amendment states that the funds have to be allocated, shall be appropriated by the legislature. And I think that actually reflects the balance between the work of the council and the work of the legislature. And so it totally makes sense to me that we would be spending those available dollars, especially at a time when our economy and our communities could really use those extra funds. And so I would just encourage folks to take a look at all the good things that are being funded in this bill, because really that is the bulk of what we're doing here. And the only reason the Soil and Water Conservation District issue has come up because it's been rated. This fund has been rated in the past for that purpose. And so really,
it's not been rated.
Representative Backer.
Wow. Okay. I know being respectful has been really hard for folks today and this week overall, which is really disappointing because I really expect better of my colleagues. And unfortunately, that's not been the case this week. But to get back to the good things that I was talking about that are in this bill, I thank you, Chair Hansen, for your lead on this bill. I think it's very important that we get those dollars out and we pay for these good projects throughout the community. And again, we're still following the recommendations of the council. It's just kind of some bonus that we weren't expecting post February forecast, which is totally normal and something that happens every year. So thank you, Chair Hansen, and we'll be happy to vote in favor of this bill.
Representative Hansen, closing remarks.
Members, following Becker, Representative Becker-Finn, this is a lot of money. There's a lot of money here. And we all take an oath to support the Constitution. And yes, on the floor of the House, I and others in 2015 and 2017 said that this was an inappropriate use for Clean Water Fund to provide essentially local government aid from the Clean Water Fund. We're asking for a match at the local level in order to get those funds. But throughout this bill, there's money for setting health risk limits for three neonicotinoid pesticides. There's money for looking at water for the transport of CWD prions and water. Think about that. 2 years ago, there was money in the bill for microplastics. Because of COVID, that didn't go forward. And since that time, throughout the country and throughout the world, there's been research finding microplastics in our water and, frankly, in us. There are huge issues in front of us, and I'm asking for your support for this as it moves to the Legacy Committee. There are members on this committee that are on the Legacy Committee that can continue to work on this and try to solve problems. This is an attempt at problem solving and dealing with water quality issues that are in front of us right now. I ask for your support and renew my motion.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 639, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Hansen, Rick.
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Wasilewicz, Amy.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz, aye. Heintzman, Josh.
No.
Heintzman, no. Akam, Patty.
Akam, aye.
Akam, aye. Acklin, Susan.
Acklin, no.
Acklin, no. Becker, Jeff.
A big no.
Becker, no. Becker, Finn, Jamie.
Aye.
Egerfin, aye. Eklund, Rob.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Fisher, Peter.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher, aye. Green, Steve.
No.
Green, no. I go with Spencer.
I go no.
I go no. Jordan, Sydney.
Aye.
Jordan, aye. Keeler, Heather?
Aye.
Keeler, aye. Lee, Poo?
Lee, aye.
Lee, aye. Lippert, Todd?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Lewick, Dale?
Lewick, no.
Lewick, no. Morrison, Kelly?
Morrison, aye.
Morrison, aye. Nelson, Nathan?
No.
Nelson, no. Tice, Kama?
Tice, no.
Tice, no. That is 11 ayes and 0, or an 8 no's.
Motion prevails and the bill is on its way to Legacy Finance. I will turn the gavel over to Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, we have a bit of a conundrum. We must be done at 10 o'clock. So I'm both bills in front of us need to be referred to another committee. I believe we will go with House File 1165, Wislawick, to get that one done. And we may have to move the Eklund bill to another time. Our committee and all other committees have been told that we cannot go over. So I'm going to be very tight with the testimony. Representative Wislawick, will you move that House File 1165 be recommended to be re-referred to the Commerce and Finance Policy Committee?
Yes, I will make that motion.
Representative Wislawick, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will try and be brief here. Food and beverage packaging that is falsely labeled as biodegradable or compostable is contaminating our organics waste stream, in large part because the labeling is unclear or confusing for people who buy or use these products. House File 1165 modifies requirements for labeling items as biodegradable or compostable. It requires that the covered items labeled as compostable meet certain requirements and requires compostable products be certified compostable by a third-party organization for them to be sold or distributed in Minnesota. This change is an important step in clarifying for the public which items are truly compostable, as well as reducing contamination at composting sites, allowing them to produce higher quality compost. These changes will also help reduce microplastics that end up in our environment, which we've found out are everywhere. This legislation is supported by a wide range of stakeholders, including all three compostable product manufacturing companies in Minnesota, composting facilities, the solid managers, cities and counties with source separated organics composting programs, and more. I will leave it at that and turn it over to testifiers. I believe first up is Ms. Black.
Ms. Black, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. I'm Ginny Black, and I chair the Minnesota Compost Council, an organization that was formally established in 2013, but we have been informal prior to that. We thank the committee for hearing our bill and Representative Wislawick for carrying it, and Representative Akam for helping Minnesota Compost Council get through the legislative. And as Representative Wislawick said, the reason for the bill is contamination of plastic. It's the most significant contaminant at a compost facility, and it is the most difficult to get out of that finished product. And the financial revenue part of a compost facility is you get a tip fee in the door, you process it, that's your expense, and you get a tip fee at the end when you sell, or you get a product fee when you sell the product that you've developed. So if the product isn't a real high quality, it decreases the revenue at the facility. Microplastics were mentioned. I don't have to go any further than that. And the original intent was to reduce contamination at compost facilities. But we realized it pretty quickly after discussion, it really is kind of a consumer bill, as Representative Wislawick pointed out. It is intended to properly label products that are actually compostable and not allow products that are greenwashing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, Mr. Quillis. Quickly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tony Quillis. I'm the Director of Environmental Policy, and I will be quick because I want to make sure that Ms. O'Rourke from WinCup has got a lot of experience in this issue area. But, Mr. Chairman, just a couple of things. Looking at California, Washington, and Maryland, they focus, as we used to in this bill, on the manufacturer distributor. This change now to person in Subdivision 1 and Subdivision 2 will now put the onus on the retailer and the corner grocery store, Mr. Chairman, number one. Number two, anytime there's a change right now in terms dealing with biodegradable or compostable, or in a change in an ASTM standard, it appears on lines 1.17 that it's going to have to be approved by the legislature. So every time there's a change, the legislature is going to need to be involved instead of it just a review by a state agency. So I just wanted to point that out, Mr. Chairman. Also, and like to keep working with Representative Wasilewicz on the certification of the compostable products. Right now, I'm not sure of the three folks that are eligible to do these certification powers in regards to a nonprofit or technically capable or willing to perform the analysis. I know that there's one industry right now, the Biodegradable Products Institute, that is able to do this, but I'm not sure if there are others. So I want to work with Representative Wasilewicz to see if this, further define this as we go through the process, Mr. Chairman. Again, thank you for allowing me to point those out. Look forward to working with Representative Wasilewicz. I want to let Ms. O'Rourke have the time today because there are different ASTM standards and different definitions of compostable and biodegradable in the different states that I had just mentioned. And she's got great experience in this, so I want to make sure that we get her testimony today.
Ms. O'Rourke.
Good morning, Chairman Hansen and members of the House Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee. My name is Vicki O'Rourke. I am corporate counsel for WinCup. WinCup is a manufacturer and distributor of disposable food service products, including compostable and marine biodegradable products. WinCup is opposed to House File 1165, in short, because there is already an adequate federal regime in place addressing scientific substantiation for compostable and biodegradable products. That is known as the FTC Green Guides. If anyone in Minnesota finds a manufacturer or distributor unlawfully labeling their products as compostable when they're not, you have adequate remedies available under existing law. Passing this law just adds an unnecessary layer of complexity for businesses inside and outside of Minnesota. They will have to deal with differing regimes among the 50 states and between Minnesota's law and the federal regime. If the committee is inclined to approve this House file, we would strongly urge the committee to consider two amendments. The first would be to make it clear what requirements need to be met to label a product as home compostable. There are well-accepted standards for that and certifications. We would urge you to look to TUV, formerly known as VINSOT, which will certify a product as home compostable. Along those same lines, we urge you to specify the guidelines for labeling a product as marine biodegradable. This is a new area of the law, but it is one where there are, in fact, ASTM standards, D6691. We would strongly urge the committee to consider these amendments. We want to encourage the committee to reward companies like WinCup and others who are trying to innovate and make better packaging. If you don't allow us to label our products, with substantiated, truthful claims, we're not going to be encouraged to innovate and to make better products. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. And for testifiers who are here for the CWD bill, that is going to be postponed until next week. It is our intent to vote this bill out by 10 o'clock. So, Mr. Jaswiak, sorry I butchered that name.
Not a problem at all here. Mr. Chair and committee members, my name is Chuck Jaswiak, and I'm here today representing Specialized Environmental Technologies. We are one of the largest privately owned composting operations here in Minnesota. We process both food and yard waste at several MPCA permitted locations in the metro area. Greenwashing, terms like on products like biodegradable, environmentally friendly, natural, or eco-friendly tend to confuse consumers and may sometimes infer that they break down in a composting system, becoming safe for the environment. This is not necessarily the case. Contamination in many forms is by far the biggest issue that composters face each day. It is vital for us to make sure that compostable packaging is properly labeled so that it gets into the right waste stream before it gets to our sites. I can guarantee that without efforts to change the current language and make these products easily identifiable, we will soon be forced to refuse compostable products due to the significant contamination that accompanies them. Transitioning to food-only programs has been a national trend that will have significant impacts on companies manufacturing compostable products and PLA resins alternatives here right in Minnesota. It will also increase the volume of material sent to the landfill that could have had a better end life use. Non-compostable products entering our sites adds significant cost to our operation, but also increases the possibility of introducing specific contaminants like PFAS and microplastics. Currently, we are the end recipient of these materials while having little to no control over how they get into our system. It is essential that contaminants are reduced prior to the composting process. These products hamper operations and jeopardize the safety of our employees. They obstruct air and water movement during the composting process and are virtually impossible to screen out in the end to create a desirable product for all applications. Properly labeled products are essential to identifying items that can be composted in our systems. I urge you all to support this legislation to make sure that consumers and composters know that they are purchasing and receiving products that are truly beneficial to the environment, especially since they're making the effort to purchase and separate these materials for composting in our already established systems in Minnesota. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Shannon Pink and then Vineet Dalai.
Hello, thank you. Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Shannon Pence, and I represent NatureWorks. NatureWorks is a global supplier of compostable biomaterials locally based here in Minnetonka, Minnesota. We at NatureWorks support House file language in the bill for 1165 for the following reasons, repeating much of what you've heard already. It's a bill to protect consumers from false environmental advertising and will help alleviate contamination from non-compostable packaging in the compost stream. In addition, to ensure that compostability claims are accurate, the language in this bill requires compostable products to be certified against standards that reflect the ability for these products to break down and become incorporated into the composting process completely. Thank you for the opportunity to make a short testimony for this in support of this bill, and we hope you'll support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Vineet Dalai.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Vineet Dalal, and I represent Northern Technologies. We are a Minnesota-based company. It's headquartered in Circle Pines, and we sell bioplastics and compostable products. We at Northern Technologies support this bill because it will help reduce misleading claims of manufacturers and distributors selling to restaurants and other food establishments for takeout containers. We believe that the language in this bill clearly defines the relevant ASTM D6400 standard, which specifies what is compostable and what is not compostable or biodegradable. And it will help reduce some of the misleading greenwashing claims that have been identified by previous testifiers that lead to poor quality of the compost, resulting compost material. If there are any questions, we are happy to answer, but again, we support this bill and it will help kind of drive innovation and development of new compostable products that kind of help reduce microplastics and help the environment. Thank you.
Kirk Kadelka, MPCA, very quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Kirk Kadelka. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. This is a version of a bill that the agency is also proposed. We support the initiative as for the reasons many have said already today. The one new piece I'd like to quickly talk about is the definition of person and the expansion there. We had a good conversation with the Grocers Association yesterday. We will look back at some of our other bills dealing with products and chemicals in them and how we address the role of retailers versus manufacturers. Those have been acceptable to the legislature before, and we'll look at those for ways to amend this to make them closer to that. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the time.
Thank you. Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question. I guess the author, maybe MPCA, can answer this. And appreciate, generally what we're trying to do. But how would this work for companies that do almost exclusively mail order and ship stuff into the state? Amazon is probably a good example. Do we have the capacity to deal with that and regulate them and reach back and actually force them to comply.
Representative Lawler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to see if Mr. Kudelka could maybe help with that since they're on the enforcement side of things.
Mr. Kudelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, that is one of the reasons for the change from distributors and wholesalers to retailers. Amazon is technically a retailer, and we've had experiences dealing with them with other products. And so that's why one of those changes is to be able to address that and make sure that they are also following the law too.
Representative Backer.
My question here deals with, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, how many other states have these type of requirements? Because we are having more and more online businesses, myself included. But how many other states have a similar requirement? Maybe one of the departments will know this.
Representative McLeod.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Black and see if she's been working on this issue a lot longer than I have and see if she has some input there.
Ms. Black.
Thank you, Representative Waslawick and Mr. Chair. I do not know all of them. I'm pretty sure that either Shannon or Vineet have a better answer for you, but I do know that the state of Washington is way out in front of all of us and has a much more complicated bill. And it is actually the reason why we stayed with something simple, was because there is a lot of change going on out there and simpler language could be adapted more easily to situations. And so we left our bill very clean, shall we say, and this is going on nationally around the country. Many, many states are starting to look at this or have passed laws, and I can let, I think it would be Shannon probably is the best one who's most tied into this to speak to it.
We won't be able to take that. You did provide an answer. Representative Ekum, and then Representative Heintzman to close before we go to the author. Representative Ekum, quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be very brief. I just want to thank Representative Wazelik for bringing this bill forward and the work with all of the advocacy groups. And I think it's important that we look to have clarifying language for protecting our consumers and the environment. And so thank you for bringing it. I appreciate the ability to support it.
Representative Heisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, I wanted to point out that I think that there really is no question that this is something that needs to be thoroughly discussed, and I'm glad we're doing that. I think the bill author is on the right track. I do have some concerns as to how we can enforce this on the backside. In other words, at the manufacturing level might be another way to look at this issue as opposed to going to the retailers and creating penalties and things if they were to make a mistake and have the wrong bag with the wrong labeling. I just don't want to hurt, you know, the wrong people. And I hope that we're open to continuing that conversation.
Representative Heisman, it's going to the Commerce Committee, and I think those are good questions for there. Representative Wazlawick. Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the good discussion. And I will just say I will follow up with Representative Backer and get a list. I know a couple of states have been working on this. I think they've been doing it not the exact same way, so I can follow up there. And to Representative Heintzman's question, I did meet with the Grocers Association as well, and we'll be working on language to make sure we're putting this on the right people who are really the ones putting the products out there. So thanks for the discussion. I think this is a really a good bill to be moving forward to both to benefit consumers, but also cities and counties and composting facilities and all these other folks who are counting on having compostable things actually going to compost. So thank you.
Representative Wazlawick renews her motion that House File 1165 be recommended to be re-referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Hanson, Rick.
Aye.
Hanson, aye. Wazlawick, Amy.
Wazlawick, aye.
Wazlawick, aye. Heintzman, Josh.
Aye.
Heintzman, aye. Ekum, Patty.
Aye.
Ekum, aye. Ackman, Susan.
Aye.
Ackman, aye. Backer, Jeff.
Backer, no.
Backer, no. Becker, Finn, Jamie.
Aye.
Becker, Finn, aye. Eklund, Rob.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Fisher, Peter.
Fisher, aye. Fisher,
aye. Green, Steve.
No.
Green, no. I go, Spencer.
I go, aye.
I go, aye. Jordan, Sydney.
Aye.
Jordan, aye. Keeler, Heather.
Aye.
Keeler, aye. Lee, Fu.
Lee, aye.
Lee, aye. Lippert, Todd.
Clifford, aye.
Clifford, aye. Luick, Dale.
Luick, aye.
Luick, aye. Morrison, Kelly.
Morrison, aye.
Morrison, aye. Nelson, Nathan.
Nelson, no.
Nelson, no. Tice, Tama.
Tice, yes.
Tice, yes. That is 16 ayes and 3 nays.
The motion is approved, and we are adjourned.